91.1 WEDM. This is DJ Ray back here again in the studio for another interview in Warren's World. We're with some of the Stuco, one of the Stuco officers, and two of
the advisors.
The advisors. Yes. We're going to talk about Hua today. How are you guys doing? And why don't you introduce yourselves?
Excellent. We're doing great today. I'm Miss Muller.
I'm Jake Wellman.
I'm Mr. McGowan. I'm one of the advisors.
So, what was the outcome of last year's Hua?
Last year's Hua, I believe we got 13,000 cans, a little under 13,000, which was a little bit lower than our mark. We were going for 14, unfortunately. Oh, wow. But 13 is amazing. I mean, yeah. it's a big dent in the hunger population around here.
Quite a few people were fed, and we feel like we were able to really assist our community.
That's amazing. That's really great. What were your goals for Hua going into this year?
This year, one of our goals was kind of to revolutionize Hua, to make it more relevant to some of our students so that they understand the importance of what we're doing. This isn't just competition. This is truly helping people, helping our neighbors, our community, so that no one has to go hungry. It's 2019. Yeah. There's plenty of food here in the United States, specifically in Indianapolis, and we want to make sure to get that food in the hands of people who need it.
And part of the thing that we chose this year was we partnered with the JROTC program and Master Sergeant Little and Master Sergeant Inorga, and our goal was to partner with them because they've been raising a lot of cans in the last couple of years, and they actually almost raised more than the entire school combined last year.
Wow.
And now we've kind of made it a contest, so we're calling it Hua versus Ura. And Ura, in case you don't know what that is, that's the military, the Marine Corps chant, the slogan for when they accomplish great things. They, you know, once a mission's accomplished, they chant Ura, and that's their way of celebrating what they've done. And so we wanted to take that enthusiasm and try to see if we can make the whole school that enthusiastic.
Yeah, for sure. What are your hopes for Hua, not only this year, but in previous years and years to come?
Our hope this year is to get more than 15,000 cans school-wide, to incorporate a lot of those principles that we talked about already, to get everybody in the school from every nook and cranny involved, and to really get everybody to understand what Hua is about, that it's not just about bringing cans in and about competing with each other, but it's about helping out those in our community and even in our school who are facing a hunger problem.
And we also really wanted to meet the need where it was at. And so Sunny Day Food Pantry, where the majority of the food collected goes, gave us some different items that they're really in need of, that they have requests for. So we're putting that out there this year, too, so that we can maybe get some more specific things that are necessary.
Oh, what would those things be?
Yeah, and I'll take that question, actually. So they're specifically looking for toiletries, and they're looking for full meal items, so mm-hmm. boxed meals that you can basically, you know, feed a couple of people with. There's nothing wrong with getting a can of green beans or corn. Like, that stuff is great. But we're trying to incentivize people a little bit by making the bigger meals worth more. So if you bring in, for example, like a hamburger helper, or you bring in chunky soup, that's going to net your class 2 points as far as the contest goes, because that's what they're really in need of. They need stuff that is ready to eat for people to actually sit down and have a whole meal that doesn't take a lot of preparation and can actually feed numerous people all at once.
And some people, I think, forget the importance of some of that. Like, one of their items is peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times, you know, we don't consider that so much, and that's an item that can be kind of pricey as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and again, any kind of toiletries, even travel size stuff, we'll take that. They just want to make sure that they're reaching the most people with the most needs. And toiletries are a little bit more expensive maybe than a couple of canned goods. Peanut butter may be a little bit more expensive than a canned good, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not. And that's really what does more good than just yeah. any kind of canned good.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think the outcomes of this year's Hua will be?
I'm really optimistic about it, because actually we just got done getting some cans from the JROTC room, and they gave us about half of what they have, and right now it looks like they've already got more than anybody's turned in from the school, so they are well on their way, and we're hoping that that'll motivate some other people. So we're definitely hoping to hit that 15,000 mark, and we're really hoping to surpass it if we can.
I think, too, that personalizing it so much this year is really, my goal is for people to not only hear what we're saying and see those ads in the campaign, but also feel it and understand that these aren't people halfway across the world that we're talking about. These are our neighbors, our people in our community, and we all fall on hard times at some point in our lives. And it's our responsibility as citizens to help raise one another up, because at some point it's going to be you. And you're going to hope that somebody is there to pick you up and help you out when you need it.
Has participation gotten better or worse since you guys have started doing HUAW? And why do you think that?
Well, I think, Ms. Mueller, you've been involved with this for a long time.
I have. And, you know, I feel like through the years it has decreased quite a bit. I think a lot of that has to do with just society in general sometimes not feeling that these are actual needs in their own backyard.
Yeah.
I think because of technology and just how our world is such just like kind of a small community, people don't realize that this is happening right here, right now. And I also think that some teenagers are almost feeling a lack of empowerment, and they don't realize how much of an impact you as individuals can make. Teenagers are a huge force to be reckoned with in our society, and I unfortunately feel like in the past few years, adults have taken some of that power away, and I want kids to know that they can make a difference.
Yeah.
And all of these small differences, bringing in any kind of cans, it really adds up. We always tell people if everybody brought three cans in from our school, we'd be done tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's not a lot. That's not something that seems like a lot. But I know that for a lot of people at our school, you know, the need is great. There's people everywhere. I see it in my classes. I know Jake probably sees it in people he knows. I know Ms. Mueller sees it in her classes. So it's something that's here immediate in Warren Township.
So piggybacking off of like that, why do you think it's so important for not only Warren to do this, but like other schools to get involved in stuff like HUAW?
I think it brings a sense of community that we're all together in this. And, you know, we have a lot of student support for our sports. We have a lot of student support for our music program and things like that, and theater programs, a lot of our activities. But this is something that actually brings people together at a much deeper level than anything like that could ever bring, because you're literally helping save people's lives.
I think you're humanizing it. I think that across our city, our students, again, need to realize the power of their potential and the impact that they can make. And hunger is a real thing, and it's human, and again, we can, that's something honestly kind of simple that we can do, is help feed one another.
Yeah. Jake, do you have any opinions on like
that? I agree with both of them.
So what planning goes into doing events like HUAW?
There's a lot, honestly. You have to really, especially for the HUAW versus HUAW thing, we had to first go and establish that it was okay, first of all, to use HUAW, because we do know that if you are in that program or in the armed forces, it is disrespectful to use phrases or salutes or sign-offs that they use as a part of something without their permission. So we had to get their permission for that. We have to okay with not only teachers but with the administration to, in order to advertise and to incorporate different parts of the school all into one cause. We also have to okay with food pantries. We have to know exactly where it's going, and then we have to know exactly what they need and what they don't need. And other than that, it's just you have to make the ads, you have to make the commercials, you have to find what's best gonna reach your viewership.
That was an excellent response. There's so many moving parts to this and so much communication that has to take place. Honestly, I believe Mr. McGowan started about 4 to 6 weeks ago, starting to line these things up.
Yeah, and just setting up all the logistics of not just collecting the cans, but when you have 15,000 cans, mm-hmm. I don't even know how many pounds that is. I don't think we've ever weighed it, but that's several tons of food that you have to figure out a way to move. And we have people from all over the district. We have janitorial staff helping us out. We have people that help us get it to the food pantry. I know that JROTC is going to be a really big help when needed. There's just so many things that you have to do before you even start collecting cans that people don't even realize that happen behind the scenes.
Yeah. So I know, like you guys said, it's hoorah versus oorah, which is the rest of the school against ROTC. Who do you think will win?
It's tough because, you know, the rest of the school, that's a lot of people, but JROTC is coming in hot. They're coming in strong already. It's anybody's game since we've never done this. I can't even make a prediction. I'd like to think that the school and the JROTC each bring in 15,000. That's what I would love to happen. That's my dream. So
that sounds like a challenge, Mr. McGowan.
I think that is a challenge.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the 15,000 first win.
There you go. That would yes.
That would be perfect.
That would be perfect.
What do you think would get students more interested in doing hoorah?
I think personalizing it, knowing that some of their teachers have experienced hunger themselves, knowing that people that they walk the halls with are oftentimes at food pantries so that they can eat, and realizing that that's not a shameful thing, but instead, like we stated earlier, it's a way, an opportunity for us to just reach out our hands to one another because we're all... And we're all in this together. I didn't sing it, but it's we all are going to have those hard times. Everybody does. And that's what I want to get across more than anything, is that this isn't us, oh, we're helping people, we're so sweet, we're so kind. No, this is us coming together as community to help our community.
Yeah.
To help ourselves.
Well, and we've got a fabulous traveling trophy that goes to the winning classes and a... breakfast for the first period class that raises the most as well. So we're hoping that, you know, if you're not incentivized by just the need to do good, maybe you're incentivized by getting breakfast in the morning sometime or carrying a pretty sweet-looking trophy around.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have anything that you want the student body to know more about hoorah?
What do you think, Jake? Because you're part of the student body. You want to answer that?
That's a hard question. From not being in student council and knowing what hoorah really is, I think the most important thing for everybody to understand is that it doesn't just have to be some quiet kid walking around the hall. It could literally be your best friend. Because, I mean, that's a hard thing to come up to you. Like, if you're a good friend with somebody, that's a hard thing to say, like, hey, I'm starving. I haven't ate in a week. Mm-hmm. I need food. And honestly, the most important thing in that is that this is kind of a anonymous way to give to your friends in the school.
It's very important.
And not only from you giving to them, but from them receiving it. So it kind of protects both parties from any humiliation or shame that they would feel, but also gives what people actually need. And not only does giving, like, make you feel good inside, but it shows that you care. It really, I mean, you do good things will happen to you.
Wow, yeah, that's very well said.
That was really good.
Yeah, I think for the student body at large, again, it's one of those things that sometimes people don't think that with a school as big as we are, you know, we've got 3,700 kids every day walking through these halls, and you don't think that you can make that much of a difference, or you don't think that you matter that much. But a program like this shows that you do matter. Even one little gesture of bringing a canned good in could feed somebody for a day. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah. All right, you guys heard it. Get your cans, go buy something, bring it in, and help your neighbor, your friends, even maybe a teacher. You never know. Thank you guys for coming in And thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
91.1 WEDM. Welcome back to another episode of Warren's World Podcast with Xavier. Today, I'm here with a We Live Indie member. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Leah Griffin.
Hi, Leah. And Kit, before we break this down, you've been in We Live for how many years now?
Just this year.
Okay. And how do you feel like this year in We Live Indie has changed you overall? Because I know this is one of the better clubs in Warren, and we get like a lot of like impact from outside of Warren, like from media and stuff like that. So how do you feel like this 1 year in We Live has like helped you for sure?
Well, I had to go take pictures for We Live for yearbook at their annual peace walk, and I went, and it was like really empowering, and I was like, wow, a lot of people like on social media are just everywhere, anywhere. They'd be like, we need to make a difference, you know, things need to change, but they don't really do anything about it. So going to the walk, it was really like, wow, like I'm making a difference, or I'm actually doing something. I'm not just talking, I'm like doing something with my actions.
Yeah, and I believe the We Live walk has been a thing for, I want to say, 3 years now. So how do you feel like with this being your first year going to that, third year in, it's fairly new concept, how do you feel like, explain your experience of the We Live walk to me.
I feel like I think you're getting at like how like do I think it's like still going or whatever. I feel like although it's like their third year or fourth year going on it, it's still a big movement. Like going, it wasn't like it was just because of one person passing. Like they're doing it like for all, people all over the world. They had people come out from mass shootings in LA, I do believe, and just in different states, talking about just gun violence altogether. It's not just about Indianapolis. It's about gun violence as a whole and just how the government and the United States needs to do better.
Okay. And would you say, like, gun violence is something that you're, like, kind of close to, want to put it? Because obviously if you're in We Live Indy and with the history that it's had with this school, I can feel, like, a lot of people who want to put it into it would join We Live. So is that something, like, you can connect with, like, on a personal level?
Not technically. I've never had a friend that's been shot or a family member that's, you know, has been like, I don't know the word, but I've never had like a family member or a friend or anyone close to me that has, you know, died or have been affected by gun violence. But just being on like on the east side or anywhere in a predominantly black area, it's kind of tough seeing going on the news and just seeing like gun violence. Like that's all we see. Like that's all we're portrayed as, like violent people. So it's like, okay, something needs to change. Like even if it's not affecting me directly, I can still help something and do something.
And I think that's kind of like a really good thing to hear. Not that just people who are directly affected with gun violence that are coming out and going to these peace walks, like you, for example, who haven't personally been affected by gun violence, but it's still important that people like you are going out just to put an end to this, because you probably know how it can make each other feel or make others feel, especially, like you said, where we grow up and how the east side of Indy is like looked at in general. So keeping on the topic of like the We Live events such as the Peace Walk, are there any other events that like happen in We Live?
Yes, not as of now, but right now our presidents, Denaya and Makaya, they're working on a church lock-in, and they're also working on a block party.
Block party. Can you break down one of those for me? Like, give me how exactly is that going to work?
I think they just want to bring people out and just show people that everything around us isn't always violent. Everything around us isn't something negative. Like we can come together as, you know, black people on the east side. Like we can come together and have a good time. We're not always fighting. We can do something collectively and show people that, you know, we're not negative. We're not violent people. Like we can get along.
Yeah. So with We Live Indie being a fairly new thing, and like you said, this is your first year in it. Can, from a first year perspective, and also from not a higher up member perspective, how would you say like the overall We Live impact is having on Indiana or Indianapolis for sure?
I think it's having a good impact on us. Like if you just look up We Live, you can see that people in other states are talking about us. College applications and stuff coming around, I've looked at other states and other schools that are doing things like us, and they're just not. Although We Live is reaching out to other schools and having their own club at other schools, I believe one of the middle schools around here is like having their own We Live little club or organization. Not completely like departing from like the original one, but just like doing their own get together events and things like that.
Yeah, it's really good to hear that younger students are hopping in We Live, especially we all know how young gun violence can start nowadays with literally like from any age.
Yeah, some of the when we had our first meeting, they were talking about how kids growing up, they don't see violence, they don't see people dying around them, and if they do, they're not directly going like, oh, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get a gun, I'm going to do this. Yeah. It really starts in middle school. That's why they want to like have a club at the middle school to like prevent kids from even picking up a gun before they even think about guns.
Yeah.
Because really, when you get to high school, it's not like an ending point, but that's when people really change their personalities or change their whole being.
Get a lot of new, hang around a lot of new people, pick up a lot of bad trades.
Peer pressure, all of that.
Yeah, I understand that fully. So, first year in We Live, do you have any advice for any other students who are thinking about joining We Live, who are kind of nervous about it, or who are just like overall just thinking like, oh, maybe this is something I want to do just to get out and get involved in my community?
Yes, I think you should do it. Not really looking at it as a selfish thing, because, you know, it will look good on college applications or just for schools completely. But beyond that, it really will make you feel good, because I promise you, when I went, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to take pictures of this. I'm finna be walking. It's hot. But it really made me feel good. It was beyond just like it wasn't just walking. Like when we were walking, we were looking at people, we were seeing people, and they were like so happy that we were walking around, and they were like crying. They were literally like, thank you for like coming to my community and like putting a positive outlook on us. So I just think it'll really make you feel good. Even if you don't like doing community service, you don't like doing things like that because you're not getting paid or whatever, it really makes you feel good, and you're doing something for the better. So just don't look at it as a selfish thing. Look at it as a selfless thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's a really good, strong point to end off on, especially like with this, like you said, don't look at it as being a selfish thing. Personally, you might not gain much, but I promise you, going out and helping others or joining We Live Indy, that can have a big impact on the people around you. And just in case you want to keep up to date with anything We Live Indy going on, they do have a social media, or they have an Instagram. Follow them at We Live Indy on Instagram. Nonprofit organization. Didn't know that. Well, I guess I should have known that. But thank you, Leah. And
of course.
Yes, thank you so much. And that was it for Warren's World on 91.1 WEDM. I'll see you guys next week.
Welcome back to another Warren's World. I am your host, Alexis, and today I have two lovely hosts, Leah and Jada.
Hi.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about some journalism and yearbook. Okay, so I know journalism is not a club, but what necessarily does journalism offer here at Warren?
So basically, if you want, you could do journalism as a class, and that's kind of like, you know, you have intro to radio, intro to TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's our intro class to yearbook and newspaper. So journalism, you learn how to report, you learn how to write quotes, captions, you learn how to write stories.
Interviews.
You learn how to do interviews. You learn how to ask the right questions. That way you don't ask any closed-ended questions. That way they can't say yes or no. You learn, that's the first semester. Second semester, you learn the technology part of it. So we use they teach InDesign. You learn that. You learn how to build a newspaper page or a yearbook spread. So that's pretty much it. It's basically everything you need to know before you come to yearbook.
So yearbook, when you come to yearbook, you have to know everything.
You are expected to know it. We've had some people who didn't.
Yeah.
Who are in eighth period who didn't take journalism, mm-hmm. but it's harder for us to teach them because, you know, I already learned this, and mm-hmm. it's hard for me to reteach something I just know by heart, and you don't know it.
Exactly, because it's basically sounding like you guys have to go back to the basics
mm-hmm.
and spare the time
to teach.
Do this. And
when, if you already knew it, we could just be moving forward.
Exactly, yeah. And you're wasting time, and things can't necessarily get better. Or, like,
exactly.
You guys don't have the time to make it up.
I don't have the time mm-hmm. to make it up. I don't.
That's understandable. Okay, so for yearbooks, what is something that you guys have seen you want to make better?
Really time management. I feel like, especially with this first deadline and a lot of new people coming in, it's really been like, okay, this has to be done, this has to be done, this has to be done. And then we're trying a new way of a yearbook, and not a traditional yearbook spread. We're doing MOZ this year, which is rectangular coverage. So it's like many stories, you know, many...
It's like a little... How do I explain it? Like a little... segment, like imagine mm-hmm. like a segment of a show. It's like that on a yearbook, so it's like questions and answers, surveys, little step by steps stuff to get more kids on it.
Yeah, exactly, to cover more children. So it's different things that we're doing, which is like making things go a lot longer, and if we would have learned it in the beginning of the year, it would have been better. Definitely. So it's really just time management around this time with deadlines.
Yeah, I feel like yearbook, it's a separate thing, but you all come together. So basically, you have your assignments. It's on you to go out and
get it done.
And get it done. And then we come back.
It's on all of us.
But it's on all of us if we don't get it done. So it's like, you know, it's independent, but eventually we have to come back together and get it right. So like, if I get assigned student media and publications, it's my job to go out and do the mods for that and ask the questions and get the quotes and everything approved. But we have to come together. So, you know, if you personally don't take the time out and balance your time and have your time management correct, it affects all of us, because now with the we're not at risk of this. But the thing is, if we don't meet the deadline from our like publishers or plant, our plant, whatever, we would have to pay $9,000.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about anybody else in this school, but I don't have nine grand walking around. I don't have that in my pocket as walking around money. So, you know, we got to get stuff done on time. This is just a lesson for us. Next deadline, hey, pick up the speed. You might have do better. You might have other clubs, other classes, but no one told you to join this.
Yeah.
No one told you.
So. I feel like with right now we're doing student life, so it's a lot harder right now because we're all doing different pamphlets or different layouts.
Mm-hmm.
With sports, which is our next deadline, with sports, it's really the same layout. We're just going to be dropping pictures, dropping the story, dropping the quotes. But with
just matter of getting it done on time and putting the effort in.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because from what it seems like, you guys have a lot of things you guys have met that you wish could get better.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the school year, I know you guys had different goals set that you guys want to meet. Have you guys met these goals so far? If so, like...
I don't remember my goals.
I feel like
but
they were really just to get our things done.
Yeah.
And to really go like... Hold up with this. And to really do mods, basically. And... we're getting there. A lot of our mods are really good. It's just taking a while to get here.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we're doing good. Some of us are doing better than others when it comes to getting our pages done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know on my page, another girl's page, it's just about consistency now, making sure things are the same.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of clubs, I don't know, or clubs or group organizations, whatever, sports, I feel like they are with each other a lot, and they have room to like bump heads or whatever and get in arguments. We don't really do that. Like we have no time.
We don't have
like,
time to argue.
Yeah, we don't have time to argue. Like we might yell across the room, "Hey, yo, put the pictures in there. Are the pictures in there? Put them in there now, or else." You feel me?
Yeah, I think we're a smaller family this year.
Yeah,
we're a smaller group. It's probably for one, we're all girls, so it's surprising when we don't bump. That's very surprising. You know, girls can be very catty. We don't bump heads for girls. There's about 9-10 of us that are there in the class every single day, and I feel like for the most part everyone understands the agenda of we're creating something people are going to look back for the rest of their lives,
and a lot of us are seniors.
Well, yeah, most of us are seniors.
It's only two juniors. Three. Cheyenne and Shalia.
Naomi.
Naomi,
there's three.
Sorry, Naomi.
You know, people, I could think of how my mom, when she has like a chunk full of her high school stuff, she still has her yearbooks and looks back on it. And I, you know, I want people to be proud of what to show their kids and their grandkids.
And this is a new decade.
Yeah, it's the start of our theme. It's perfect for the new decade because this can never happen ever again.
Honestly, it really cannot.
Yeah, so this is like 2020. This is a brand new start of something new, a new decade. You know, our theme goes really well with the decade. I think the book is going to look really nice. Really, really, really nice. So I just, question.
A lot of people,
I think we get along pretty well.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset last year about the it not being really photo heavy or the design just wasn't good or whatever. But like this
they
year.
They don't care about the design. They didn't like that.
but the theme was good. It was just, it wasn't a picture. But this year, You feel me? It's going to be a lot of pictures. A lot of people are going to be in it. I know.
We're going to try.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to try.
They're in there.
When I go to some pictures.
Like when I go to games and stuff. Hey, yo, put this in there. Do this. Take a picture.
Okay, so this ain't for the viewers listening out on this podcast, what good advice can you give them if they are thinking about joining yearbook?
Yearbook. First things first is the girls that we have in our yearbook class now, we're all very ongoing. We're all very close. So if you want to join yearbook, don't try to be introverted. You're going to want to talk to your staff because they're going to be ones who are going to help you out in the long run. You know, and also what I think about high school is people are going to learn out in the real world. It's all about networking.
Yes.
It's all about networking. So you need to meet people. That way you can, you know, later in the future, you might need their help or something. So just get out and talk to people. Because before, I promise you, before this year, I didn't know Leah. I did not know Leah until I started talking to her in yearbook and we had 7th period together. But now she's like one of my closest friends. So just talk to people because
you might.
She ruined it. You might meet one of your closest friends there, or you might meet somebody that can really help you out. Let's say you're confused, but they get it. You know, y'all can balance each other out. Y'all can help each other. Y'all can come up with new ideas. That can be your little buddy partner. So, you know, just talk to people and also
know your software.
He
was taking too long.
I was.
Know your software.
Photoshop.
If you
e-design.
If you look at a character.
Illustrator.
And you don't know what to press, don't come to me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
You still have to ask to get the idea of it.
YouTube.
Oh, God. Okay. Another piece of advice is to
YouTube. Look
don't,
it up.
You know, yearbook, we've pretty much, when you get an assignment, you have like 3 weeks to get it done. Don't procrastinate. Because you know it, it's going to pile up. Mm-hmm. And now you got 3 mods, you got a story, you got to put a layout in, a template, you got to do all that.
Interviews.
Yeah. So just manage your time wisely.
That makes honestly a lot of sense. The last thing I have to know is there anything we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, like buy your books. Buy your books.
They're $55.
Yes.
Right now. Also, if you are a senior and you want to be, if you want a senior ad, that means when your parents talk about you and you get a little story and your own little, maybe a whole page, quarter of a page, half a page, you're going to want to talk to us now. Email me. Just type in Jada Dixon, JaeDaDixson, to email me. And then ask about planning your senior ads so we can start putting those in now.
And senior quotes, they're due Friday.
Senior quotes are due Friday. Do not miss out. Don't do anything stupid. Do not curse this Friday.
All right, guys. So remember that yearbooks are $55 a pop. So if you want something, make sure you go ahead and put your orders in and get them. Thank you guys for joining me. And that has been a session of Warren's World.